What it is, what it is. So if you enjoy those real discussions about the ministry, you will definitely enjoy this. We are about to sit now with some dedicated, innovative, and groundbreaking spiritual leaders. And we're going to discuss the truth about the youth in our church. And in the spirit of clearing a path, planting the seeds, allowing your people to grow, I trust it. And I really, really mean it. I trusted Josh and Kaya with this assignment. Two of my co-hosts who will soon have their own podcast. Let's do it.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
This day, I pray that you will heal people that hurt. I pray over everybody on earth. Bless this podcast and the people who listen and support it. Bless AC and keep us all safe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mackenzie and Christ followers. Beautiful people. Let's get ready to say something. Unknown Preacher LA. Hey, this is season two, and today is going to be epic, y'all. I'm your boy LA, aka Lonzo, Mr. Nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen. And today we're talking about something that's so dear to us. And those close to me, you know the reason I started the Christian hip hop ministry years ago. The reason we started the podcast and promoting events is it's always been about the youth and bringing them back to the church. And so today I'm speaking with some phenomenal people. And I will tell you, so part of this, I had a discussion with one of our panelists, Pastor Shepherd, and we talked about the need to get youth back in the church. And Shepherd said something, I don't know if he remembers, but he said, hey, we need people, the young people up front, leading the way, bringing young people into church. And so that kind of sparked some of the inspiration behind this. And but on that note, I'm going to ask Pastor Shepherd to lead us in prayer before we start the panel discussion. Pastor Shepherd, the floor is yours, brother.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Oh, eternal and all wise God, we honor and we thank you for the opportunity to gather together virtually to uplift your name, to glorify your kingdom, to do the work of ministry, to be an example, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be the church, the vehicle that you have set in the earth to reconcile God and man. And Father, as we go forth on tonight, we pray over this recording that it touches somebody, that it brings illumination to whoever listens, We pray that it sparks a fire, a flame in somebody's heart. And most of all, that this conversation can potentially plant and water the seed of life, and that you will eventually give the increase. It's in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. And as we were saying, we need our young people up front. And on that note, your boy is taking a back seat today. And my two co-hosts, Nephew Josh and Kaya, they're going to handle this thing. So I'm going to hand it over to you, Josh and Kaya. The floor is yours. Do what you do.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. So today we are bringing together dynamic Christian voices who are making an impact in their communities and beyond. First, I'll have the pleasure to introduce Reverend Holland. He is the lead pastor of Renewed Covenant Christian Center, who brings over 30 years of ministry experience. He has a wonderful heart for youth mentorship and a unique blend of pastoral care with technical expertise.
Yes, and secondly, we will introduce Pastor Shepherd, and he's a retired U.S. Navy veteran and a man deeply committed to his calling. Also, Pastor Shepherd has a way of blending transparency with a fathering spirit, but he's also striving to guide others toward the image of Christ. He has served faithfully in various church ministries and on multiple community boards, very dedicated to making a positive impact wherever he goes.
And also joining us is Minister Crumpler, a former Campbell University basketball player who now ministers to young adults while balancing a thriving career in tech. He also runs a youth sports program in Farquay Verena, combining his passions for sports, mentorship, and faith.
And together, these leaders bring a wealth of experience and insight on how to inspire and engage the next generation. And speaking of the next generation, I know, you know, we do have some young people and special guests who have been invited tonight, and we would like to introduce themselves. So, yes, and we also have some questions that we would like to share with you guys as well.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Shepherd, I know you do have two young people on for the special guest. So would you like to give them a brief introduction?
Yes, ma'am. Sure. This is Mr. Jonathan Bryant. How you doing? A great young man who serves not only in the capacity of a student leader in the church, but 21 years old, young man, full-time job, has his own place, Christian, born again, lives his, what he testifies about, and a future leader in the Lord's church. I see it anyway. I don't know if he sees it, but I see it. And this is my brother, DeWitt Anderson, a.k.a. Breeze. He's one of my sons in our ministry. The Lord is really, really doing a work in his life. He don't look like what he's been through. He has a story. He's writing a book.
Nice.
That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay. I read the introduction, and we was in a public place, and I was in tears. Oh, wow. You know, I had to get my gangster back together. But I'm very proud of both of these young men, especially in this culture. We have to be like salmon swimming upstream, going against all the other fish are swimming, going with the current. And we have to go against the current, and dealing with young people, their fight is way more difficult than it was when I was a young man. So I take my hat off to any young man or woman that is trying to hold the line in our faith.
Definitely.
And you know what? That's a great point that you mentioned, how devotion looks completely different to you as a young man than it does to our generation. But that leads me into my first question. What did devotion look like to you when you were younger versus how does it look like to you as an adult? And this could be answered by anybody. by everybody we have here.
Okay, well, I guess I'll go. Mm-hmm. well, I'm Pastor Emmanuel. I believe devotion to me, back when I was younger, it looked like a devotion of the older demographic, because we were made to worship and attend prayer meetings just like everyone else. So, growing up in church, we had prayer, we had service on Sunday morning, service on Sunday evening, prayer meeting on Wednesday before Bible study.
I know, that's right.
And so, whatever my parents did, whatever the grown-ups did, that's what we did. Mm-hmm. But that's how it looked when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And so as I began to, mature and have my own walk with Christ, I started, my devotion changed from just being on my knees and praying to worshiping, not feeling and being ashamed to let anyone see me worship and praise God. Mm-hmm. And also it went to listening to more of a contemporary music to keep my attention. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference between when I was younger and as I matured.
Nice, nice.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Pastor Shepherd?
I was raised by my grandparents. My grandfather didn't go to church, but my grandmother she walked with the Lord. And like Pastor Holland, when the doors open, there was no options. And so revivals, prayer meetings, Sunday school, whatever the church had, we were there. Mm-hmm. So it was more of a form. That was just growing up in that era. It's just, the church is just what we did, mm-hmm. We were the sanctified folk. That's what they called us. So I went away right after high school, and I was gone for years. But what was in me was in me. Mm-hmm. And to make a long story short, when Jesus found me, at the lowest point in my life, and he saved me, my whole life immediately changed. I went in the church. There were no elders praying around me. There was no praise team, no choir. I was in my youngest daughter's bedroom by myself, contemplating suicide, and the Lord saved me. And found a church 2 weeks later and started attending that church. And then my wife gave her life to the Lord. And so for me, being rescued, it just did something, gave me a gratefulness. So devotion then became like starting my days in the Word, mm-hmm. Listening to Ron Canole and praise and worship and a lot of prayer, a lot of tears of mm-hmm. thankfulness and gratefulness. Mm-hmm. Spending time with the Lord, and transition 28 years later to now. Devotion looks more like more reading, studying, prayer, and then just being quiet and listening. No music, listening, mm-hmm. trying to hear direction, mm-hmm. guidance, hear God speak through his word. What do you mean by that, Lord? And wait, and because being consistent with it, mm-hmm. that's the solution now. Mm-hmm. So it does look different.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny how both of you mentioned that community that you grew up with, that community mm-hmm. kept you together. And you know what, you guys kind of answered one of my other questions, but it was basically, how does that community kind of nurture your faith in God? Do you feel like, I know in times change, we have like more social media. Some people say like our generation is more disconnected. Do you feel like that community is the same? And how would you find ways to nurture that community back?
That's good.
Mm-hmm. I know like growing up with like social media and everything, a lot of us, I know for me, there's a lot of young people are still trying to find their way with God. But I'm first testament to knowing how good that community is. I know I grew up as a Jehovah's Witness, and I grew up with one way of thinking of religion, but like after I separated myself, I was able to really like explore other avenues. And I found like you find certain things that you like about really like certain religions. And I know that community is something that's very, very strong, and God connects us all. And do you feel like that community is still here within the church? I know we all have our aunties and different pastors that, you know, give us advice. How would you strengthen that?
Community is vital. Mm-hmm. With community, the first thing, so I came out of when the Lord saved me, I came out of a crack cocaine addiction. And he immediately delivered me. I've been 28 years clean and sober, never went to a rehab or anything like that. But being in community, in the local church, not just any church, but the church the Lord led us to for at that particular church for 15 years, that was like our life source. The brotherhood, the men, the ladies, my children, all of us were a part of that community. Mm-hmm. of the saints, and the brothers held me accountable. They checked me when I was wrong, when I was feeling in my feelings and wouldn't go to church. They came to the house. They checked me. They held me accountable in love, and it was just, I'll never forget it, and it sticks with me today. But people say COVID did it, but I saw that leaving before COVID. Mm-hmm. And I saw, especially in our context, where we were getting more into an entertainment type of way of doing church, mm-hmm. instead of being God's church. And, mm-hmm. and it engulfed us. And so when COVID came, a lot of people didn't know how to come back from that. And then the advent of social media, now people feel like, well, I don't have to be a part of a gathering because, I can watch it online. But all of that online stuff, you can't disciple people online because you need to be able, people need to have somebody who, hey, where you been, bro? Mm-hmm. Hey, I ain't seen you in a while. You all right? You good? You need to be able to look at somebody in their eyes. You need to be able to ride by and check on them, mm-hmm. you know. And yeah. Discipleship is not a class. It's doing life on life with your people. So that's mm-hmm. what we've been doing for this last year, not having Bible study where they're listening to me, they're sitting in the pews, and I'm teaching, and they may be taking notes. They may not. They got their phones. Nobody. Now we're sitting in small groups, and we're walking through the scriptures, everybody asking questions. We share meals together, and the sense of community is coming back, and they love that. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday mornings, the gathering means more because we're celebrating the resurrection of Christ. Other than you can be in the church in a gathering, and you don't even know the people you worship in beside.
Mm-hmm.
So the community, God is community, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the first community, and he always desired family. And so we, in the local churches in our community, we're supposed to be a family, mm-hmm. not a gathering of people who don't even know who each other are. And we're supposed to, how can we, if we're not community, how can we fulfill the law of Christ? Galatians tell us the law of Christ is to bear one another's burdens. We can't do that isolated from the community.
Amen. So,
yes.
Amen. Well, you know, I'm going to go on a different route. And this is in regard to the young folk, trying to get the young folk back into the church. My thoughts about that is that, and I'm speaking from experience where I'm actually working with Minister Crumpler on some things. And it seems like the community, we have to bring the church to the community and make the church and the community exist. And I say that because here in the Fuquay-Varina area, there is a need. There are a group of young people that need to know God. They need to know Jesus. They need to know the power. Mm-hmm. And what we've done is, and I'll let him speak to some of the things that they have when it comes to discussion, because I'm going to tell you all, the young folk are hurting, that there is a need. And I do believe that young ministers like Minister Crumpler, they're needed. Mm-hmm. And so what we've done is I'll let him go into detail, but I do know that there's a community that is in need. And so, Minister Crumpler, will you give the audience an idea of some of the things that's going on for that age group? And you may want to give your age, I'm not sure, but whatever you feel comfortable with.
Yes. So, Mr. Joshua Crumpler, I'm 29 years old. And I've been helping Pastor Emmanuel over maybe the last couple of months here, kind of formulate a plan to help the youth in our communities. So we've started with just like Friday night game nights. We'll start off with a game and then we'll transition that into a reading of the scripture. And then I'll open it up for discussion for them to discuss what we went over. And like Pastor said, like they're hurting. And I think a lot of times they're looking for an outlet to let out what they're feeling. A lot of times it's not even like for you to say anything. They just need somebody to talk to. They just need a hug. They just need somebody to understand them. And they, a lot of times, whether it be through pride or they just don't know how to go about seeking help, even though they know they need help, especially young men. And so just providing that opportunity for them to do so. You'll be surprised some of the things that they'll say or some of the things that they'll share with the group. A lot of times with some of the kids, they don't even know, but they're sharing deep personal things. Just because I believe prayer and like we pray before we have those events, and the atmosphere is something that is welcoming. No one feels forced to tell anything, but and it still all ties back into scripture and into Jesus. And I'll come back with a kind of a response to whatever they say, if they have any questions, or sometimes, like I said, they just want to talk. So I think in giving that space and holding space for them, because like you guys said, like it's a little different now than it was 20, 30 years ago. Like life has always been hard, but sin manifests itself differently in each dispensation. And so it's just looking a little differently. And so we have to formulate a different plan with how to deal with some of the things that our youth are dealing with. Obviously it goes back to prayer and making sure we're seeking God for the best ways. But there are a lot of practical things that can be done to kind of help draw and make them feel comfortable in an environment. So it's not always preaching down to them, but more so like, hey, how you feeling? You know, how's life been? No judgment type of space. And a lot of them dealing with a lot of stuff, and a lot of them are into a lot of stuff, and you know, and they're not shy about sharing that. But no matter what they're into, like this is an open place and we still welcome you here. So just being welcoming to them.
Definitely.
And just to add to that, I want to say that one of the things Minister Crumpler said is that providing that space, that safe space for them to be able to release. And from time to time, I personally will step in and just observe. But then sometimes I back off and I give them that space and allow them to open up, because I'll go ahead and give you this information. I'm kind of somewhat of a cheat code because I have three sons. One is 22, actually one's 20, 23, 24, and 27. And so, you know, I've had an opportunity to coach them in AAU sports, youth sports, and I've always tried to be part of their day of making them part of mine. So I had an opportunity to watch some of these young men grow up. I mean, I may have coached them when I was, you know, when they were 11 and 12, 13 and on up. As a matter of fact, that's how I met Alonzo. I was coaching his son, one of his, actually both of his sons. And so, you know, when you're around that particular demographic, you know, when they get their first kiss, you know, when they have a problem with their parents, and I'm able to, you know, kind of somewhat be there and be a fly on the wall and be there for them, you know, during those critical moments. And then as they've gotten older now, most of them are Minister Crumpler's age, and now they're having children. And so the seeds that the Lord allowed me to plant in their lives at an early age, you know, their parents may have watered it, or maybe I have watered the seeds that the plant, the parents and the grandparents have you know, planted. But the thing is, I'm glad that God has allowed me to be part of their life instead of making them part of mine.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And that's a very powerful message. Thank you, Minister Crumpler. And, you know, this is definitely, you know, a topic we need to talk about more often. It's all about communication and being open, you know, with one another. And, you know, one of the questions I have from this conversation is, what advice would you give to other church leaders who are struggling to connect with the younger generation?
I want to chime in with that. I think we just got to go to them, you know. We got to pursue them. They're not coming to us, so we got to go pursue them. And I think we do that just by being consistent. Mm-hmm. Being consistent with our pursuit. Because a lot of these...
This episode is brought to you by Manna Ministries. Manna Ministries, an initiative that focuses on extending our reach beyond the walls of our church to touch the lives of those in our community and beyond. So let me say this. This initiative aims to share the message of Christ's love through various forms of outreach, addressing both spiritual and practical needs, right? Focusing on providing essential services that enhance the well-being of individuals and families, and reflecting the servant heart of Jesus Christ. Visit us at mannaministries704.org. Manna Ministries.
Being consistent with our pursuit, because a lot of these kids been abandoned early by their fathers, mm-hmm, or mothers, so they're used to broken promises. Right, so consistency got to be the key. Just being consistent, and like everybody else was saying, creating a safe space. Just being relatable, not just coming hard on them with the word, but just being cool, relatable. Like, I understand where you're coming from. Cause I think a lot of times too, when the kids look at the Christians, they look at us as being boozy,
yeah,
or judgmental, right? Yeah. Cause we act like we ain't been through nothing. Yeah. So we just gotta let them know, like, I've been there too, right? So when I go to the schools, I let them know, like, I grew up in the same neighborhoods y'all grew up in, going through the same things y'all went through. So I understand where you're coming from, and I just approach them like that. And I think we just got to get out there and just be consistent.
Yeah, one of the things, and we've been doing this going on like 6 years now. One of the things we did when we first planted 8 years ago, we started going to one of the local housing projects and went through there and just kicked it with the guys out there and asked them, what could the church do to make things better in this community? And they kept it real. I mean, they didn't pull no punches. And so what we started doing, we got connected with housing and we went into the center and we started consistently every Tuesday having what we call YEP, Youth Enrichment Program. And what we would do, we would go in, have games. We would always have pizza or some type of snacks, play games, and then teach them basic, giving them a foundation in the faith, but on a basic level. And when you're ministering to kids, you have, and I didn't do it. I got the younger guys to do it. I'm like you, Pastor. I kind of step back. I would go through sometimes for observation, but, and it was, it matter of fact, the program won the housing award for the Housing Authority of North Carolina. We won an award for the program for 1 year, but nevertheless, housing wanted us to put that program in every housing project in Kinston for the kids. And I couldn't get no black churches, not one, to help. But I did get some of our other siblings to join in and with their teams. And so we established another program across town at Carver Courts. And so now we have two housing projects, kids, and one of the boards I chair is a nonprofit where Alonzo brought his team called the Gate of Lenoir County. It's a faith-based nonprofit. It's the safe space where we bring kids every Friday night and we have family time, games, they have food, breakout sessions, and Jonathan is one of the leaders there. And we go get them. We pay for them to go to different camps. One of the most important things to me is the family time, because in our community, we have a majority of broken families. And so when you look at the problems of these kids, you got to let them talk and they will tell you. They'll tell you how they are affected by the absence of their father. They'll tell you our kids are so wounded. We got kids in our community that suffers from undiagnosed combat PTSD, walking around in the community every day. We got kids that are suffering from molestation, and it's normal now. We got kids that, I'm talking about babies, 5 years old and under, who hear gunshots and they're not alarmed by it where they live because they're so used to hearing it. And so we have to model a better way. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to give it to Jonathan. As a leader, one of the things I see that we got to stop doing in our context is having these youth revivals, because the only thing we're doing is having a church service with the kids in our church, and you bring the kids in your church. This stuff is not reaching the kids that's dying in our streets, in our community. And then they got a guy with a beard just as white as mine in there preaching it. It don't work. It's antiquated. That stuff don't work. It doesn't work at all. Mm-hmm. And so we have to take the church, raise up young brothers, and as older pastors, we got to know, we have to start pouring into these young brothers and not trying to hold on to, we should be happy to see these guys in leadership roles and preparing them to take our place. But too many times I've seen pastors 90 years old who won't sit down and your season is over. Mm-hmm. To pass the baton to younger leaders. And that's one of the reasons we had one of the girls was 21 years old at our small group Wednesday night. And she said one of the reasons she had quit going to church is because the message isn't relevant anymore. There are no young people in the churches. They, she can't, the message they're given, they're still given the same. The gospel don't change, but the presentation has to, you have to be able to take the gospel and make it relevant.
Yes. Where
people can not only understand, but it can become applicable to their lives and what they're dealing with. And people are not doing that. And so that's another reason why the young people, and what I hear the most is the young people got questions and the pastors can't answer it and won't answer the hard questions.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
Yeah, so I came up through the gate when I moved back down here back in 2015 after my mom won the custody battle. So around that time, coming into it, I mean, I came in with a lot of baggage. I came in with a lot of hurt, you know. So with me going to the gate, which happens on Friday nights, and it's just like what Joshua said about, like, they have, like, fun games and messages and stuff like that. That's exactly what the gate is. And for the gate, they pursued us, you know, because I was in the projects and they came – with the van, came and got us, and they made that place home, you know? And, like, that place was always home, where even at times where home didn't even feel like it, you know? So with us having that, like, ground there at the gate, they have room to implement things into us, you know, like leadership or why should do this or why is God good, you know? Or in my case, introduce us to God, you know, because me growing up, I didn't know who Jesus was. I didn't know none of that until I came to the gate. And with me feeling like, hey, this is home, I trusted my leaders, and my leaders poured into me. You know, they discipled. And with them discipling, doing what they were supposed to do, that leads me to do what I'm doing now. You know, like, we have events throughout the week that draws me, because I was once those kids that sit in those seats right now. You know, and how we all come from different backgrounds, we need to have a safe haven. And that's what the gate was to me. And that's why I'm there today. You know, I mean, there's other things I could be doing on Friday nights, but that place draws me, you know, because, I mean, these kids need help, you know. And at times where home doesn't feel like home, that hurts, you know. And really, you need a place where you can run to and it's safe. And also, which a place to which is teaching discipleship, and also teaching you the word. So that's my take on that.
You know, I want to kind of add to it, because I volunteered at the gate as well. And like Jonathan was saying, we just got the kids need a voice, and they need a voice that look like them.
Yes,
the key. They need a voice that look like them. And so we gotta, like I said, we gotta pursue them. We gotta go get them, go where they at, meet them where they at. And I noticed, like, just volunteering at the gate, that we rarely had parents volunteer. So kids need a voice.
Yeah. That's definitely true. And I appreciate you guys, you know, for sharing that, because a lot of individuals nowadays, you know, they're not getting, like, that information on, like, you know, Jesus Christ and coming into, you know, a church. You know, a lot of individuals are, you know, not, you know, being put in the right position, you know, and it's all about, you know, finding that safe haven and then, you know, also making that sacrifice. So I appreciate you guys for making that sacrifice as well. Another question that I do have that came up in my mind was, you know, what challenges do you guys face and maintaining your faith in today's world, and, like, how do you guys overcome that?
And I think that's a very important question, because a lot of people these days, especially younger generations, everybody thinks that you're supposed to be perfect, that you're supposed to put on this air, whether you be a pastor or a reverend, or you're supposed to be perfect. And we're descendants of Jesus, but he helped us, but we're not him. And so how do you walk with that faith?
Well, I'll take a stab at that. And it's kind of, I believe personally that there are a lot of problems out there, right? You know, people face so many different types of issues. But as leaders, when it comes to as being a shepherd over the flock, we need to be willing to admit that we don't have all of the answers when it comes to some of the practical issues in life. And so we need to be willing to invite trusted resources to address those needs if they don't currently exist within the ministry. Case in point, one of the things that Pastor Shepherd talked about was some of the children having, you know, some type of traumatic issue or mental health issues based upon certain traumas that they have, right? So we need to be willing as leaders to call in the trusted resources, mental health professionals, to be able to address some of those issues. We need to be able to put, you know, connect with local law enforcement so they can come in and have conversations with some of the younger folks so that when they see them out and about, you'd rather them meet them in a safe environment opposed to meeting them and they have to spread eagle and put their hands on a hot hood of an engine, of a car. You know, I just think that as leaders, we need to be able to tap into those trusted resources. I can recall I met Alonzo a while back when he was in law enforcement here locally, and I actually asked him to partner with Mothers Against Drunk Driving and bring in the statistics from the different homicides that were that had taken place in that his agency had gathered. And so he took that data and he gave it to the participants to give the to kind of somewhat paint a picture as to some of the negatives associated with underage drinking and substance abuse. So I think as leaders, we need to be able to identify that we don't have all the answers, that we need to make sure that we pull in the right resources. And then the second part of that is I think we need to be able to identify the different demographics within our ministries, within our congregations. You know, some people, they don't even know what the difference between Generation Z, Alpha, Millennials, Generation X. And so I believe Pastor Shepherd also made mention that some of the methods are outdated and antiquated. We can't expect to be able to reach each demographic the same exact way.
Yes.
I just think that as shepherds and leaders, we sometimes we miss it because we think we want to act like we have all the answers and we don't. And so I thank God that he gives us wisdom on ways to lead all demographics. As I say, we need to be able to cook for the whole church. We can't just cook for one part of the church. We got to cook for the whole church, man. I mean, we can't just, and then we got to put the right chefs in position to be able to cook for those that they're serving. So I thank God for people like Minister Crumpler, how he's available to be a chef cooking for his age demographic, because I can't, you know, I would love to be able to have all the answers, but I don't. And so I'm willing to step aside and do some of the things that Moses did. Hey, Jethro, which was Moses' father-in-law, told him, man, you're going to go, you're going to drive yourself crazy trying to tend to all these millions of people. Won't you go ahead and set up the different leaders of the different tribes so that they can be able to feed the folk? So as leaders, we got to be able to identify that we don't have all of the answers, but we need to be able to use the amount of wisdom that's necessary to put people in position to take care of the flock, because we can't do it all. We can't be Superman. Hey, I'm the husband of a wife, three sons. I can't be everywhere. So I'm praying every day that Lord help me to be able to pour into the leaders in the ministry so that we can do life together, because I can't do it by myself.
Of course. Of course. And that's very powerful, Reverend Holland, you know, because we need leaders. And, you know, like I think about myself, too, because like I'm a grad student right at UNC Chapel Hill and also Duke University. So, you know, when I look at, you know, going on campus, I don't see a lot of individuals that look like me. And, you know, one of my main goals is to, you know, be a PI in my lab and give others the opportunities, you know, for mentorship. Because, you know, mentorship is very powerful. And when you don't have the right mentorship, you know, something bad can ultimately happen. You know, so we need powerful mentorship in today's society for sure, and within our communities as well.
Yes, and I know one of the main points you both of you pointed out, basically conforming your service to fit those needs of like the younger generation. But speaking of the age of technology, we got Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and YouTube Shorts and everything. Do you find yourselves using those social media platforms to enhance your services, or do you find that it helps or hurts the of Christian youth?
Okay, I guess I'll jump in. I'll say, you know, I believe that we have to be able to adapt and do what we have to do without compromising the integrity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We have to be able to really, really put focus on that, because I'm going to tell you one of the things. Where's my phone? I was about to raise it up and show y'all, man. That phone, I mean, people are glued to their phone, right? So I believe it's a blessing and a curse. It depends on how you use it. And so I think that we need to be willing to be able to really put focus and maybe certain initiatives that's centered around social media. I mean, it's a lot of tools out there, but we need to be making sure that we're using it for the glory of God instead of misusing it. Mm-hmm.
My only thing with social media when it comes to Christianity and believers is I think we have to stand up more and preach the gospel more on social media. Because I think we, hate to say it like this, but I think we getting punked by the enemy. You know, they out there talking, like they be talking, going against us, speaking against us, and we kind of like don't speak up enough. Or challenge the enemy or the hearsayers that come for Christianity or go against the word. Yeah, we got to be bold.
Right. Let me jump back in. There's one thing I want to make sure that I make mention before we move on. One of the things that Josh was talking about is that he's, you know, Josh, you're a student at Duke. As well as UNC. Wow, that's, I just thought about that.
Yeah, how that work? How that even work?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how that worked, but anyway.
I'll share that a little later with you guys for sure.
But we have to, the tools that we have, my wife and I, we actually lead small group Bible study on Thursday evenings at Campbell University. And we use Google Meets, and that's, you know, that's a tool that's a platform that makes it easier for people to be able to tap into. We actually had to move to a virtual Bible study with the students because of the pandemic. We're able to reach those students, and I believe our first session for the semester is going to be this Thursday. Wow. When the students just came back to campus. And so I'm loving the fact that God has blessed us with technology to be able to reach the students on their level. And believe it or not, we've made an impact because we are. That's a space that we have created. That we have maintained that relationship. My wife and I, we've actually have a background with Campbell Divinity. And so we have established that relationship and we've never let it go. And I believe there's a group on campus called Ransom. Minister Crumpler, can you give an idea of what Ransom is all about? Because you are a Campbell alum.
Yeah, so Ransom is also a campus ministry there at Campbell University. It's on several other campuses as well. I was actually a part of it when I was a student. they have events on Monday nights where they'll have students come in. It's actually like a church service. So they'll have worship, praise and worship, and then they'll have somebody get up and minister, and they'll get people saved, like an altar call at the end. It's something that's it's really big when I was there, and from what I understand, it's grown to be even bigger since I've left. But, you know, it's definitely a great tool that's being used there on campus.
And if I may add that I'm actually working on getting them to participate in what we call is the Pulse. That's what Minister Crumpler is doing for the ministry. We call the young adult ministry the Pulse. And so I'm trying to, you know, I don't even want to say I'm trying. It's going to happen, because if God gave the idea, he's going to bless it. And so with that being said, I am moving that group and attempting to make sure that they are part of the Pulse on every first Friday of the month within the first semester. So I'm hoping that Minister Crumpler, he'll have a full session with some familiar faces from Campbell University.
Correct.
Which is about, I want to say, maybe 15 minutes away from where we are.
Yeah, about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That's powerful right there. And also, when you look at social media, you know, it needs to be used effectively. But if we look at AI, artificial intelligence, you know, I know that's a growing aspect. And you look at ChatGPT, you know, a lot of, individuals are using ChatGPT for the wrong reasons. Like, I see students nowadays, you know, doing a whole, you know, math homework, just put it in ChatGPT, you know, are they really learning the information? But you could use ChatGPT or any AI, artificial intelligence program, for a more powerful and, you know, dedicated way. Like, let's say you could use AI for Bible study, right? So is there something you don't know? Right. You could use AI and look up that verse. You know what I'm saying? And you'll be able to understand it a little bit more deeper. Or you're able to create your own presentations or create your own, platform off of AI, just using it in a more powerful and concise way. I think that should be utilized.
Let me jump in. Pastor Shepard. I'll let you go, Pastor Shepard. Well, Josh, the thing about that, I'm glad you said that, because I actually use AI in my sermon delivery for the in-person hybrid services that we have, because for some reason, the younger demographic, they like to see visuals. And so in the 3 points that I deliver, remember now, the messages don't change, but the delivery changes. So the homiletics, meaning the art and science of preaching, that doesn't change. Right. That's the same. And so the preaching styles doesn't change, you know, the expository, the topical, you know, the different preaching methodologies that don't change, but the delivery changes. And so I've learned that to keep people's attention, we have to use those AI generated visuals for the 3 points.
Yes.
That we deliver. I'm sorry, Pastor Shepard, I'll let you go now.
Yeah. So with social media, I see some people use, I use a Facebook page for our digital disciples. That's what I call them, digital disciples. Those that are that's been with us for some years that don't live here, but they've been consistent. One thing I've noticed, a lot of seasoned people they're not just settling for, well, I'm just going to any church. People are looking for sound teaching, sound preaching, and they are tired of the entertainment and the, they're tired of seeing people be spit on them in the pulpit, and they're just tired of that. Mm-hmm. People want to be taught. So a lot of people are finding voices, not necessarily mega voices, but voices where they kind of know the fruit, the lifestyle of the people, and, you know, they connect via social media. So with that being said, we use that platform for them. If it wasn't for them, unless I had a professional production, I wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I think if when we use those platforms, that if we're going to do a church service per se, I see people doing YouTube videos from their living room with a pulpit in the living room with a tile hanging up as a curtain. And that just with two followers. I mean, what's the use?
Yeah.
You need to shut that down and go join a church. But nevertheless, social media can be used for some good things and good reach. If we use it right, we can reach some people. But one thing I noticed, the young people now, they don't use Facebook. The young people use Snapchat. They use
TikTok.
They don't post on Instagram no more. They're using Threads for pictures. But with Instagram, they'll scroll Instagram and watch it, but they don't even post on Instagram too much no more. Mm-hmm. They just notice it. They'll do Snapchat because it disappears, and they do TikToks. Yeah. And so if you can navigate, I don't have the time to be navigating through TikTok. So that's what we need, young people. You need young people in your ministry that can navigate those media platforms, and they know how to do it. So our young people are so valuable to us at this time that they're assets. So I agree with Pastor Holland. We have to incorporate them into the ministry and let them, you know, hone their giftings in. And if it be that they are, we got to give space to the creators. Give space to the creatives. A lot of these young people, these Gen Zs are creators. They're creatives. Give space to them. You know, how can we use your gifts to expand the kingdom? Like, if you're what do they call it? An influencer? Well, let's use your gift, the influence, to influence people for Christ.
Yes.
And show them the benefits of that. And we celebrate them with that, celebrate their wins. One thing the young lady said the other night, she said, you know, when I had my first apartment, nobody, you know, the church, I thought that would be something that was an accomplishment, and I thought my church would celebrate it, and they didn't celebrate it. And I was like, you know, and I'm listening at that. And so for some people, but that's important to a lot of people, you know, feel celebrated.
Yeah.
You know, it's important that we show up to your baby's basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that the men get the boys in the church and take them fishing, take them to see the forge. You understand? So we got to start thinking ways.
We got to pray harder in this world. Christians got to be smarter. False prophets looked at like they were a martyr. Read the Bible every day. We ought to beware. They pretend to care, but when you look for the heart, nothing is there. I'm not splitting hairs, but this also applies to those who make religious claims or lies, claiming to be a leader or literally a prophet. Man, will you please stop it? If you're on fire for the Lord, I won't knock it. Again, read the Bible every day. You oughta. If they tell you who your God is, hide your husband and your wife and your kids. They get nada. what you preach and teach. Let me say, I don't believe it. It's got to be in the Bible, and I got to read it for myself. Are you seeking souls or wealth? And if it's wealth you're seeking, it's not a good look. You're wearing sheep, man, but I see a wolf. Said you hate a thief, but who's the real crook? I took your words to be the truth, but you dazzled our babies and misled the youth. But now I know somebody. No, matter of fact, I know some other ministers who got my back. No longer will allow you to lead them astray. False visions, phony religions, they will stop listening today. No matter what you say, we guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. We're turning away.
Yeah, preaching and going home, and you can't get too close to the flock.
That is true. And it's crazy, y'all. Like, look at Unc Alonzo, you know, he's doing something powerful with his platform. And yeah. Get in a great way. So it's like we can get more of us to spread that word. I think that would be great. And like, you know, influencers are real. You know, you look on TikTok and people are using these social media platforms as distractions. You know, they're getting distracted, you know, instead of really looking into the word for real. But I also have a question for Jonathan. I wanted to ask you, man, like, could you share, like, you know, a personal experience, you know, that has significantly impacted your spiritual journey? Because I know, like, again, as we just talked about social media, I know that revolves around, you know, us. So, you know, tell me a little bit more about that.
Are we muted or not?
So one
event that happened was, so my father and mother, they had a custody battle when I was when I was 9 to like 12. So mm-hmm. coming back to, so finally moving from Virginia back to Kinston, I mean, like I said, I came with a lot of stuff. So one mm-hmm. event that happened was a man named Scott Brewer. He was at the gate. He discipled me. He was like, yo, come in. All your stuff is welcome, you know? And like at that moment, not having my father, but having a male figure to show me how to be a man, show me like how it is to be like a strong Christian man. It was that event right there really touched me. I felt like I was somebody wanted me, you know? I mean, somebody wanted me as a son. I felt, mm-hmm. I felt love. And in that moment, it was like, man, I've never felt this before, you know? And like having that, it was like, man, if I know I feel like this, I know so many other people feel like that. You know, and also getting in touch with Pastor Kayem, with him being a strong male Christian figure. It's like, man, you know, him carrying on his wing, showing me things. We have talks. We bump into each other because it's a small town in Kinston. I see him at a coffee shop. I go in there to get coffee for, you know, running in the night. I end up seeing him. We stayed there about 3 hours, talk about the word, you know, and like things like that with men stepping up in my life. That's what really like drew me, you know. That's something that really impacted my life quite a bit, you know, made me the man I am now, or grown to be too.
Yeah, man, and it's awesome. It's awesome that you're taking that lead, and then again, like your father was sharing with you, like sharing with us, you know, you're definitely taking them big steps. You know, at 21, man, you know, so that's powerful, and I'm proud of you, bro. So.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as we conclude, what is one message of hope you like to leave the youth in our community with as we navigate today's challenges?
And that could be for anyone, too.
Awesome. Yes, it's for everybody as we wrap up.
I would tell them that you have some people that care. You know, just be willing to open up and let us in. We here, and we care, and we want to be there to help guide them in Christ, and just be there.
Mm-hmm.
Just be there. That's all I would tell the youth.
Well, my message to youth would be: there's a way out. Yeah. You know, there's a way out of the depression, the anxiety, the identity crisis, you know, because I mean, one big thing in the youth is there's such a huge identity crisis with things being thrown at us left and right. We don't know what to believe. And also it's like, man, it's hard to be rooted on some things, you know, and that way out is Christ, you know, and like following Christ. I mean, so much to offer, so much to offering you life, you know, and that would be my message.
It's beautiful.
I would say to the young people, don't stop dreaming. I see so many young people who have lost the desire to dream. When I was growing up, they would always ask us, what do you want to be? Today I might want to be a fireman. Next week I might want to be an astronaut. The next week I might want to be an engineer building trains. Always dreaming. And I noticed today something that I asked some young men, and I had to go in the bathroom and cry because the response was, I want to live to see 18. And that was a serious, there was no laughing, no, like, that was their reality. And I want the young people to know we have not given up on you. We are here. There are men that are ready and willing to pour into our young brothers in our community. There are women that look like you that are ready to take young sisters under their wing without judgment, and pour into them and love on them and speak into their life and tell them who they are.
Yes. Anyone else? What about you?
I was speaking. I was on mute. I'm sorry. I would actually say, and this is just echoing what Pastor Shepherd said, you know, there are men and women of God that are out there and that are available. So I would say stay connected. You know, I'll tell you that in my moments, when I was younger, I hid whenever I did wrong. Just like Adam tried to hide from God, knowing he couldn't hide. So I say stay connected, because once you get off and you start living life on your own and you have to make your own decisions, you know, God gives us free will, right? And so when you go off to college or when you move out and you're on your own and wherever you go, whatever it is that you're doing where you feel like you're responsible for yourself, you're responsible for your next meal, you're responsible to put gas in your car, you're responsible to get from point A to point B. Once you begin to making those decisions, stay connected. Just because you're 21, 23, 24, 25, and you can make your own decisions, that don't mean that you can disconnect from the source. You know, quite often, a lot of people prematurely disconnect, thinking that, okay, I'm grown. I don't need anybody. I don't need no advice. I don't need any mentorship. That's exactly what the enemy wants to see you do. Get disconnected from your source.
That's easy.
Yeah, that's easy to do.
It's real easy, because you know how we get when we, you know, we get hair on our chin, and you know, when we get bass in our voice, we tend to think that we can make our own decisions and we can do whatever. And then you made that decision, but then now you expect your parents or those, the authorities that be, to help get you out of the trouble you got yourself into. All because you got disconnected. Now, let's have a conversation about it. Surely there's somebody out there that you know that would love to have a conversation with you to tell you or to give you some good advice. Yes. But because we feel like we can just make any decision without any consequences, and then, you know, then maybe somebody's going to come in along and save us from the decisions that we made when all we had to do was pick up the phone or just go back home to your parents, or go back home to your uncle, your grandparents, and get that sound advice from them. Because I'm telling you, God put those people in your life for a reason. And so why would you disconnect from that? Mm-hmm. And then go on to making these decisions where you just perpetuate or propel or just continue snowballing the downward spiral. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can preach about this, getting this, disconnected from the source. We know who and what our source is. We know where it comes from, right? We always see the preacher say, my help coming from the Lord. Well, when you disconnect from your source, that's when things happen. That's life. Mm-hmm. When you get disconnected from your pastor, you get disconnected from your elder, you get disconnected from the mothers of the church, when you get disconnected from those trusted resources that God has put in your life, that's when you begin to have problems. Mm-hmm. Then you expect someone to finance you getting out of trouble. When you did not go and get that advice from them anyway. It's not like somebody's going to whoop you and chastise you. So just stay connected to the source.
Beautiful.
That's good. I would say, you know, you're never too far to come back home. Similar to what Pastor Emmanuel was saying, like, you know, how far you get away from, you can always come back home. You can always come back to God. Story of the prodigal son, like that's the epitome of the story, is someone is going astray. It's really the epitome of the gospel, right? About, you know, making a bad decision and Jesus saying, you know, I still want you despite what you've done, despite decisions that you made. So like, you're never too far. I think that's the biggest trick of the enemy with our youth is like, you know, you can't go, you made a decision that you can't come back from, which undermines what Jesus did on the cross, right? So I think it's just fighting against that thought that you can't come back from it because of some certain things you've done. There's a loving Father in Jesus who loves you and wants you. And if you trust in him, he'll do things in your life that you couldn't even imagine.
Definitely. That was very beautiful.
Well, we would like to thank you guys for engaging in this discussion with us. It was a pleasure hearing all of your stories and all of your advice. There's so much wisdom that can be learned from both older and new and young. And we really appreciate just all the openness that you guys shared with us today.
Mm-hmm. We thank you guys. We thank you guys. And we definitely want to stay connected with you guys for sure.
Yes.
Love it. Man,
and I will hand it back to the man himself.
God, thank you, man. I tell you, where did the time go? And you, let me say this, you guys were phenomenal. Y'all were excellent because y'all did something that was probably unthinkable. You think about it. You got a group of ministers together for a discussion, and it ended in less than an hour and a half. Who can do that, right? No, seriously, man. I just had to throw that out there. But this was, I had the best seat in the house. I would sit back listening to this. And, man, that this discussion, man, Crumbler, Shepherd, Holland, man, thank you guys for your spiritual leadership, man. It was just great to sit back and listen to the wisdom. And Jonathan, thank you so much for sharing that story. It was so impactful, man. And I know for a fact, and DeWitt made a good point too about social media, because it is a tool that we can use. But as Pastor Martin said at our last virtual, you have to keep it holy, because what I see, and I'm on social media a lot because of the podcast, there are some pastors on there trying to get those likes, trying to get those followers, and they're saying things that will shock you enough, and sometimes it's coming off as rude and inappropriate. And so we have to remember to keep that holy. But again, this was just great to sit back and listen to the wisdom in the room, the excellence of Kaya and Josh and Pastor Holland, you were confirmation, because I was sitting here thinking about what am I going to say at the end of this? And I was thinking about Jethro and Moses, and then you started talking about it. I said, man, amen, because I keep saying that this is my baby, you know, and you can kind of put your arms around it and don't let people, you know, chime in, but this is really Jesus's baby, right? And so, Kyle and Josh, I trusted you. I hope I wasn't, I stayed in my lane, right?
You did good.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
And I want to say, Unc, like, appreciate the opportunity mm-hmm. that you gave to us. And, you know, when you're very passionate about something, you know, of course the time's going to go by, you know, because you're expressing your love and your passion for this. So, you know, we appreciate you.
Well, I didn't give it a second thought. You guys were great. And I just, from the bottom of my heart, I thank everyone who was on here. More to come. The vision has been this, to have trusted spiritual leaders who will frequently come on here and we have these discussions. So I hope that we created an environment where you want to come back and, you know, share that wisdom with us again. So
definitely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank y'all. Definitely. Thank y'all. Well, on that note, God bless everyone, and we will see you when we see you. God bless.
God bless you guys.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown Preacher.